Technorama episode 636. The simple truth is... Oh, wait, Craig, you didn't give me a simple truth. What is the answer?
Well, the answer is... Oh, I'm just kidding. I don't... No.
Get the Zapruder film. Craig's been shot.
Yeah. Anyway. I was just... What played through my head was The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where the girl figures out what will make everybody happy, and then she gets killed. The Earth explodes.
All right, let's back up. Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, welcome to the show. If you are returning, welcome back. I'm Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, and I did not have to look at the tag on my shirt. I know my name this week. Oh, joining me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing good, and good thing, because you know my name too, so I don't have to remember it.
It's written right there on the screen.
Oh, yeah. There you go, right in front of me.
That's we put it in the show notes in case we really run into serious problems. Some parts of this are scripted for good reason.
That's right.
Other parts we say in our sleeves. Lots of tech, sci-fi, and all things geek.
I think we've set it up. We're 16 years, so I think we know it by now.
Don't count on it.
Don't count on it.
All right, we've got some feedback.
Oh, do we?
Hooray! An email and two. Count them, two voicemail.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get
read
letters
all.
Every
day. Da, 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 da. Hey, John.
By the
Miller,
way, the
Jr.
complaint department is down that way.
Reach right in and pull one out. Letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Mailman. Mail today.
We got an email from Edward Chase, longtime listener. He says, in the latest episode, well, this would have been episode before last, 634, Craig mentions having a lien on his house for an unreturned VCR rental. Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, I believe it was. He states that he paid $80 to the lien, but also mentioned that the video store was no longer in business. So my question is, who did Craig pay?
I just went out in the curb where the video store was and paid the first guy. No, I had to go track down the business owner because they actually owned the lease or the lien, excuse me. So it wasn't really against my house. It was a tax lien. I'm not sure how that worked, but there was a tax lien. And I couldn't buy a house because of the lien. So
he goes up to the old closed up shop, sticks $80 in the mail slot. There, done.
I would love to get Jim Carrey to sign my copy of Ace Ventura.
Did you have to have official paperwork that says I returned this? Now give me a bank loan.
If I remember right, I had to take the receipt or something like that to the tax office in the next town over for our county. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, library books, VCR rentals, tickets, make sure it's all paid up or it's going to come back and haunt you.
Yeah. That was about 20 years ago. So I don't remember every little detail, but I do remember I had to take something back to the tax office and get them to sign off on it. Anyway. So yeah, it's crazy.
Oops, I can take the part down that says we're doing the pre-show. We are not doing the pre-show right now. We are doing the show.
Hey, John Miller Jr., yes, that is the reason why I couldn't buy my first house, because I had a lien for Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. That's right.
It's also always going to be hanging over your head. You're not going to be able to run for political office.
I think it's a funny story now. You know, it wasn't funny at the moment. My wife was like, Ace Ventura, huh?
All right, let's get into the voicemail. First one's from longtime listener and patron, Amy Bowen.
Hey. Hello, Chuck and Craig.
Hello.
This is Amy Bowen. I am calling you and demonstrating that, yes, the Technorama voicemail line does work. On the night of Tuesday, March 30th, I just now listened to the show that you recorded on Monday night, and I would like to reply to Craig and say thank you so much. It really is nice to have those Christmas letters appreciated. And yes, I did do all 70 stops of the Nebraska Passport Program nice. Last year, but that was all the places I went to. I haven't, you know, I hate this, but it's better than the alternative. I haven't been outside of the Nebraska state lines except for twice, both times to drop, ironically enough, to drop paperwork off with the tax preparer. There are a lot of people around here who live in Iowa and work in Nebraska or in Nebraska and work in Iowa. But that's the only time I've been outside of the Nebraska state line since before the pandemic started. Here's hoping maybe toward the end or toward the second half of this year, maybe. In any case, thank you for mentioning me. I will probably do, I may or may not do all of the Nebraska passport stops again this year, but I know for sure I will at least do some of them because we have a good list this year and you can go see it at, I believe it's NebraskaPassport.com.
Okay.
I believe that is the right URL for the passport stop list. Thanks. Enjoying the show. Have a great night. Bye.
Thanks, Amy. I wish you all the best. And with the vaccinations rolling out, there's a good chance you get a little more traveling in this year than we did last year.
I didn't remember that it was 70. Was it? She said 70, right?
That's what I heard.
Wow. That's a lot of places to go to. Wow. I was thinking it was less than that, but okay. Wow. That's fantastic.
And five days.
I had a friend, he graduated high school early and he was doing that same similar thing you were doing with your Christmas letters. He would, for a few years, he was sending letters back home to, you know, he would type it out and copy it and send it to several people. Here in town to kind of keep up with everybody. And now you can just do it with email, but I appreciate the letters though. I do.
Yes. That kind of gets into our question of the week. We're going to get into in a minute. So hang on for that. We have one more voicemail from Brian in Minnesota.
Hey, Chuck and Craig. This is Brian from Blaine, Minnesota. Hey, I've been watching Battlestar Galactica. Still holds up. Lots of fun. Curious what you guys think about Battlestar. Almost done. And thanks, guys. Just listen to the show. Thanks. Talk to you later. Bye.
Wow. This Google Translate sucks.
I know. That's why I copied and pasted that in there because I thought it was funny.
Hey, Tiffany, Craig. They got the Brian from Blaine, Minnesota writing pretty much nothing else after that.
Since I've been watching Battlestar Galactica, still holds up the phone.
With you guys about Battlestar. Okay. So
I loved Battlestar Galactica. Back in the day, I loved the first one and I loved the remake. It got to the point where it was one of those shows I was actively looking forward to sit in front of the TV and I was riveted, you know, not paying attention to anything else. The world be damned. I'm watching this show. I love that. I thought it was really good.
I think I started watching the new one. Well, what was it? 2004, 2005, mm-hmm. when they came out with the Ronald D. Moore version.
I'm talking about.
Remember watching those on my fifth gen iPod, the ones that would play video.
Oh, really?
Okay. I have no idea how I even got the movies on there, but yeah, I think it was when we were coming back from one of the podcast expos. You go, hey, here's some files for you. Watch this.
Ixnay on the... No, I'm just kidding. But no, I love that show. I thought it was great.
Have you rewatched it since then?
No, I considered it. I haven't gone back yet.
And neither have I. So that would be
interesting. I've got so much to watch right now. I mean, there's actually a lot of streaming options right now. Well, we've been talking about it for the last year. So it's hard for me to go invest in rewatching something often, you know,
right.
Although Star Trek is in that.
Well, we kind of have to for our podcast.
Yeah. Star Trek is probably the exception, not just because of the podcast, but if I just want to zone out, I may throw some TNG on, you know, and not maybe have to pay attention to it. You know, I've seen them so many times, that kind of thing, but, or any of the Star Treks really, but yeah, I it's hard to go back and invest in watching something from start to finish at this point.
Yeah, especially multi-season shows. Unless you're watching it with somebody who hasn't watched it before, then you have an excuse.
Now, is it worthy? I would say definitely a yes. It's worthy of probably a rewatch. So I thought it was good, that good. So
he said it holds up well. So we'll find out.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into our question of the week. Our question of the week last week was, well, 2 weeks ago, because we didn't do a show last week. I was recuperating from my COVID shot number two, which...
Kicked your butt a little bit?
No, wait, we did a show last week. Did we? Yeah, it was fine Sunday.
We didn't do a show last week.
Now I'm trying to remember. I thought we did one last week.
No, this is the same show notes.
No, we had Easter last week.
That's right. We had Easter last week.
Right. It was COVID on Saturday, Easter on Sunday. We're back in the saddle. Wow. I got so much done last week and not having to do two productions. But here we are. Our question was, even if you are an adult, what is something that you are never truly too old for? And we got a couple good answers on the Technorama channel over on Facebook. Craig Glasner says, cartoons. Yes, I agree.
That's right.
John Miller Jr. says, pie. Oh, Donna and I were just talking about pie. We were ready to drive 45 minutes up to Black Canyon for some good pie.
45 minutes?
Oh, Black Canyon. Black Canyon has some really good pie.
Wait, what kind of pie?
Like, the whole restaurant is just pie. That's what they're known for.
Well, you know, on my birthday, traditionally, instead of a cake, I get a lemon meringue pie.
I want a pizza.
For your birthday?
That's what I wanted when I was like 7 years old. What do you want? What do you want to eat for your birthday? I said pizza. I was like rebellious at that age because everybody else would. Anyway, what do you got? I got one more answer, but I want to hear what's on your list.
I had a couple of comments here. Brian Parker said, mooing at cows as you drive by.
Oh, yeah.
And our buddy Gary Lindros.
That was Brian Parker?
That was Brian Parker.
All right. Very nice.
Which is funny because I can't imagine there's a lot of cows in Florida. There may be. I don't know. And Gary Lindros says, the feel of squeezing Play-Doh. I'm down with that.
That never gets old. The smell of Play-Doh I can do without.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they give you those squishy balls at like trade shows that you can use in the office.
Right.
Steve London says, oh, I got this one.
Okay.
I love that opener. That is the best.
Yeah, right.
I am a model builder. It is now, as an adult, I finally can afford to get the tools, materials, and models I always wanted. Seymour. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have to click Seymour. I thought Seymour was his name. A cheap hobby is not a real hobby. What? Yes, it is. It can be just fine. I built a lot of models when I was a kid. It was, what was it? AMT, Mattel. There was another model brand that I don't recall. But the plastic models, like cars and planes and boats.
Sure.
And, I used to build those all the time.
You know what? I tell you what I really like is, whether it's model building or just building something tactile with my hands, is, you know, for most part, I'm typing on a keyboard or doing something virtually. But when I spend time doing something like that, maybe making something from scratch, fixing something or building a model like that, oh man, it really works that part of the brain that I don't use all the time.
It's a nice distraction from the technical stuff.
It is great.
That's why I really enjoyed redoing this studio last winter, because there was carpentry involved. There was upholstery involved. There was wiring involved. There was going up in the attic and finding the rafters. I mean, there were so many aspects to this other than just lights, camera, HDMI cables, that kind of thing. It was really fun on a number of levels. Painting. Yes, lots of painting.
Problem solving. I mean, for crying out loud.
Right. You know? Envisioning what I wanted to do and then making it come to life. Like, how am I going to deal with the green screen and getting it on and off, in and out and set up and torn down and rearrange things because I wanted it modular. And where do I want that 55-inch TV? And what's it going to look like when I get all this together and the camera's actually, boy, that's a pretty barren wall. What are we going to put on the wall?
You know, right. Just
little things like that. And then once you get into it and use it a little bit, then you got to make some tweaks. Go, gonna need another 20-foot cable.
That's right.
So it was a lot of fun. I agree. There's something about working with your hands to create or repair that really is kind of therapeutic.
Oh man, especially when there's a problem here at the house or something and I need to fix it.
Well, that's part of the requirement of being a homeowner.
Well, no. I mean, just like something to fit. I don't know. Not just fixing the soffit. I'm talking like any kind of problem. And I go, oh, wait, I can do this. And I got my toolbox over here. I got this over here. I got this. And I figured out how to fix something. And that's so satisfying.
There's a certain line, though, where you go, this is either above my skill level or takes more time.
It'd be buy a new one or fix it
or hire somebody to do it.
Just true, too.
There's a certain skill level to laying carpet mm-hmm. and putting up drywall. And some people have those skills. Mike Menegay was a master. Carpet. Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Transmissions, carpet, drywall. No, I'm out.
You can do tile.
Yeah, I would say tile probably in there. Oh, by the way, we did get one other piece of feedback.
What's that?
We got an email stating that ChuckChat.com has won an award and has been selected as the winner of the 2021 Best of Appleton Awards, considering you're not there anymore.
Appleton
relocated the headquarters.
An Appleton business. Yeah, we moved to Phoenix for tax reasons.
It's a tax haven there.
But hey, we won an award. Wasn't sure if this was spam or not, so I sent it to Craig. I'm like, is this a phishing attack? I didn't even want to click anything in that thing.
Actually, it came to our joint email account, which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I got it as well. So, I don't know. This song. Where's the picture of an award? We should put that on the website. Just take it.
you can use it as this week's graphic for the album.
Put it right below the Parsec Award. Hey, it's funny because it's best of 2021 and we're just now really starting 2021.
That's how good we are. We can nail the award in the first quarter.
All right, we can close out this category. We've already got a winner.
It's kind of like being employee of the month at the video club. Prestigious award. Yeah. All right. So that probably won't make it to my resume, but hey, it was nice to be mentioned, even if it was a joke. All right. Let's wrap up the voice, the feedback. Another letter from our listener. Strap in, people. It's going to be a long show. I can already tell. We may have to gloss over some of the geek library.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's just some videos to talk about real quick.
We're 20 minutes in and we haven't even gotten to the history. Well, let's take care of that. On this day in history for April 14th, 2021, this is the 104th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. Do the simple math. There's 261 days remaining in 2021. It was on this date in 1561 that a celestial phenomenon was reported over Nuremberg, described as an aerial battle. In 1561, what kind of aerial battle could they have had? And how would they have recognized an aerial battle?
A couple of falcons going at it in the sky.
It was a celestial phenomenon.
Well, U.S. President Abraham Lincoln was shot in Ford's Theater by John Wilkes Booth on this date in 1865. Lincoln lived till the following day.
Yeah, that wasn't a good day for her. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, what did you think of the play? It was also April 14th, 1894, the first ever commercial motion picture house opened in New York City using 10 kinetoscopes. This is like the first mega cinema. Well, the kinetoscope was a device used for peep show viewing of films. That's a porn to the rescue. It's always porn that leads technology, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it right? That's right. So that same date in 1902, James Cash Penny was the first store, opened his first store in Kemmerer, Wyoming.
What the name of the store was? It wasn't James and it wasn't Cash.
Sears.
Right. Woolworths.
Cash Penny.
It was pennies and they only took cash. Pennies. That's right. Also today, 1912, the British passenger liner RMS Titanic hit an iceberg in the North Atlantic at 23:40 hours. Of course, it sank the next morning on April 15th.
Yeah. 94 years ago today, the first Volvo car premiered in Gothenburg, Sweden.
Thank goodness. 94 years ago?
Yeah.
Volvos are almost 100 years old. I'll be doggone. That same date in 1928, the German Junkers W-33 type aircraft reach Greenlee Island, Canada. It was the first successful transatlantic airplane flight from east to west.
And also on this day in 1939, The Grapes of Wrath by American author John Steinbeck was first published by the Viking Press.
I always think of that song from VeggieTales. But we are the grapes of wrath. We never take Have you watched VeggieTales?
No, I think we were fading out of that era when that came up.
Oh, okay. It was on this date in 1958 that the Soviet satellite Sputnik 2 fell from orbit after a mission duration of 162 days. The sad part is, well, this was the first spacecraft to carry a living animal, female dog named Laika. But Laika likely only lived a couple of hours.
That's so terrible.
There's a dead dog up there for 162 days
and then burned
up on orbit. Yeah, that was cruelty.
All right. So on April 14th, 1981, STS-1, the first operational space shuttle, Columbia, completed its first test flight.
Yay! The space shuttle program is officially 40 years old. I'm getting old.
I know, right?
I remember. 18 years ago today, the Human Genome Project was completed with 99% of the human Genoa salami was sequenced to an accuracy of 99.99%.
Amazing.
Happy birthday goes out on this date too. Christian Huygens, the Dutch mathematician, astronomer, and physicist. He was born today in 1629.
Flemish cartographer and geographer Abraham Ortelius was born on this date in 1527.
English barrister and one-time owner of, somebody actually owned Stonehenge.
What?
Yes.
The one-time owner.
Cecil Chubb. There's a Trivial Pursuit slice of pie for you. Boy, he was born today in 1876.
When he died, he lost the title, so that's why he's only one owner. So born April 14th, 1882, German-Austrian physicist and philosopher Moritz Schlick.
Also born on the same date in 1932, American singer-songwriter musician Loretta Lynn, the coal miner's daughter.
Okay, I think you stacked these up for me. Armenian-Russian nuclear physicist Yuri Agassayan.
Close.
Born on this date in 1933.
And 79 years old today, Russian engineer and astronaut Valentin Lebedev.
And also born on that same date in 1950, American physician and geneticist Francis Collins.
American actor Anthony Michael Hall. Yes, that Anthony Michael Hall was born today in 1968.
Don't say you feel old because that's like a year older than I am.
I'm still feeling old.
All right. Also born on that same date in 1977, American actress and producer Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Sarah Michelle Gellar? Buffy is 44?
Sure.
Oh, man. That ain't right. Listener birthdays today. We're going to wrap this up real quick. April 7th, which we missed because of Easter. PC Herring. The 14th is Danny Harnish. 16th, my wife, Donna Tomasi, or Mrs. Technorama. Scafie is the 18th, and Amanda, Susie the Geek's daughter, is on the 19th. Happy birthday to all of you. That's the way it was on this day in history for April 14th, 2021. And let me take care of the titling here, because if you want to get on the birthday calendar, well, I'll tell you where you can go, and I'll put a link right there on the screen. You can go to chuckchat.com/wiki and get your name out there. And we'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. If it's your birthday and we missed you somehow, well, now you know where to go. Chuckchat.com/wiki to get your name on the calendar. Happy birthday to you and all of you wonderful people that are out there. Let's hit some random news button at this point.
Good news, nobodies.
Well, actually, this is bad news.
Sucks.
Well, if you're the guy who did it, do you want to take the first story? I'll take the second.
Sure. Sure. So a life-size replica of the Mandalorian's Razor Crest was destroyed, which art imitating life, I think, maybe. If you haven't seen the show, I'm sorry. I just spoiled something for you. So the life-size replica of Din Djarin's Razor Crest ship that was built by a fan of the hit TV show Star Wars The Mandalorian was recently destroyed by a windstorm. News of the replica's demise was confirmed by Reddit user Don Romata Estoroski, I guess so, who posted an image of the ship's demise along with a caption, "Remember Russian guys who made a real-life Razor Crest replica? It was destroyed by the wind." And, of course, there's a little animated GIF of
it. Yeah, the animated GIF starts playing, and by the time I scroll down, I'm like, why is Jabba's pleasure barge rolling down the hill?
Yeah, it was a deleted scene from Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, I thought it was getting sucked into the Sarlacc pit for a second.
That's right. So another Reddit user commented on the irony of the replica being destroyed as the Mandalorian ship was destroyed in season 2 of the Star Wars series. That only makes it more authentic after season 2, that's what he said.
So, they could have used that as real footage for the show.
I know, right?
Oh, wait, it's an all CG show.
Yeah. But you know what? I can't help but feel bad about these guys. You know, all the kind of stuff we put together for our parade float or a parade and seeing something like that tumble and fall.
We have stories. Santa's beard getting caught in the Gatling gun.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. That was, I was driving and I looked behind
help,
me and
help.
Yeah. Scott's all right to tell everybody. So he's got this fake Gatling gun thing.
It was
so he's dressed up as Santa. Yeah. He's dressed up as robot Santa from Futurama. He's holding this Gatling gun and he's kind of waving it around, you know, and you hit the button on the drill. The drill was attached to the barrels and it was
spinning around. Well,
it looked great. It had a great effect, but
the problem beard was, sticks out so far that the fuzz on his beard got caught in the rotary parts and starts winding up.
Well, what's funny is he looks like it's jammed. He's trying to fix it, but has his beard in it. And I saw it all happening from the cab of my truck.
Oh, yeah. So, yes, we know what it's like for things to implode on you. All right. Yeah. Scientists now can collect DNA from the air.
Ooh.
That's right. Scary as it may seem, and this will make a lot of police shows a whole lot easier because they just have to wave around a cup in the air.
Hey, by the way, Google just called. They're interested in this story.
Scientists and investigators might not need to scoop up DNA from surfaces in the future. According to Science Focus, researchers at the Queen Mary University of London have shown that you can collect environmental DNA, also known as eDNA, from the air. I thought that was where DNA goes for a dating service, but okay.
eDNA.
The team used a peristaltic pump. That's kind of like what you see when they pump blood through the hoses to get your kidneys flushed and whatnot, combined with the pressure filters to grab samples of naked mole rat DNA for 5 to 20 minutes, then use standard kits to find and sequence genes in the resulting samples. This method not only pinpointed the mole rat's DNA, both in their housing and in the room at large, but it caught some human DNA at the same time. Okay, we're just going to wave around this thing for a few minutes and get some DNA.
Wait, this is the mole rat we used to splice humans into mole rats. Sorry.
This is the mole rat that killed the police officer. Show solved.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the Hacks and Strange Stories. Somewhere there's a red button. There it is. Where we go over the Hacks and Strange Stories. And not only that, but we have a scary story about monkeys.
That's right. So Neuralink, an implant company owned by SpaceX and Tesla, CEO Elon Musk. I'm sorry, I'm getting an autoplay video. In the video, he released a video in which a monkey appears to play the computer game Pong using his mind. So the 9-year-old male named Pager has a Neuralink device implanted in both sides of his brain, according to a YouTube video posted by the company on Friday. Neuralink is developing a Bluetooth-enabled implant chips that can communicate with computers via small receiver. and has previously demonstrated the technology in pigs. I remember one pig didn't want to come out and show himself. I think that was, well, anyway, that's a whole other story. He's learned to interact with a computer for a tasty banana smoothie. Hey, I'd do that. Delivered through a straw, says the narrator.
We've been doing it wrong all these years. You just need a tasty banana smoothie.
Forget all the benefits and the money you pay me. I'll just give me a smoothie. Craig works remotely, but we do have this little thing where we can feed him through the straw. So two Neuralink devices record brain activity via more than 2,000 tiny electrodes implanted in Pager's motor cortex, which controls hand and arm movements, according to the video. Neuralink feeds the information from the monkey's neurons into a decoder, which can then be used to predict Pager's intended hand movements and model for relationship between brain activity and joystick movements.
As I was reading this, it's like the algorithm seems like it's doing all the work. It's predicting where the monkey is going. Like, who's to say it's not just going, okay, the square is to the upper left, so move the cursor over there, because I'm predicting that's what the monkey wants to do.
Yeah, it goes, you know, whatever, it goes to the other way. No, I meant to go that way. Stop.
And now the monkey was originally trained with the joystick, and he's reaching for the joystick, so you'll see him using the joystick at the same time, but he's still sucking on the straw going, hey, make it go over there. And apparently the machines are doing what they need. The problem I have with putting technology in your body, like Bluetooth, is they keep changing the standards. So even if you had...
Oh, crap, I got USB-C now. I don't have...
Right! Yeah. Oh, it's only Bluetooth 5. We're up to Bluetooth 97. It's like, great, I'm obsolete. I can't keep up. It's too slow. Nobody supports it anymore. Go to the doctor, get the old chip out, or you need some sort of firmware upgrade. Maybe that's what it is, a wireless firmware upgrade.
I hope so.
You just hold the device up to your head and woohoo, I've got version 6 upgrade.
Kind of do that now. Well, I think this would be great for people that maybe have problems with communication, or maybe
paralyzed people would have a wonderful time with this, because if you want to interact with the computer, you've got a couple of options. You could speak to the computer, but you're not going to be playing World of Warcraft or some of these other video games. Fire.
Actually, the first thing that comes to mind is like Professor Hawking. You know, he was in a wheelchair. And
yep.
He had slight movement enough to type out stuff. But see, this, he could just think it, you know, it would start showing up. That's the kind of thing I could see this. I do not want anything implanted in my brain. Do you?
I'm thinking about it.
You thinking about it?
I'm thinking about it. I'm already an augmented human. All right.
I guess so. Yeah, because you're married.
You're wearing glasses.
You're married. You're not with
you. You're wearing glasses. I wear glasses and hearing aids, so why not? Why not? All right. Elon Musk. Oh, we already did that one. Shout out to the chat room time. John Miller Jr., Mike Robeson. We got Amy Bowen out there. My pleas on YouTube have gone silent. I said, hey, everyone, give us a shout out. And I got crickets. But hey, you're more than welcome to watch silently. Thank you, everybody, for showing up. We do the show live on Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern time, and we appreciate you joining us. If you want to hang out with us and have some fun and watch how this thing's made live, I can't say there's a whole lot of editing that goes on, because the audio program is pretty much what
we stopped that a long time ago.
Yeah, you'll get a little bit of preview and a little bit after the show.
That's, I remember early podcasting, everybody was like, should we edit out all the ums and ahs? And I was like, and I did that for a little bit. And I was like, no, this is too much work.
There is a use case for editing. I'm not going to turn this into an episode of Podcasting for Dummies, but there are times, obviously Clinton must edit his shows. He's not doing all those voices live.
Oh, well, that's
an audio drama, or comedy, whatever
kind of thing. So yes, of course for that. But I mean, like, conversation,
No, when I do conversations for work, I do interviews on our work podcast.
Corporate things, I think, would also fall in that. You want to do some editing.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So let's move on. Remember when? I remember when. I'm not sure what I remember, but did you read this article through about here's what happens when a beam of subatomic particles hits you in the face?
I read the interesting part.
I did. Yes. It took a while to get to the interesting part. That's why I didn't want to start at the top and read on. So let's quickly summarize this. There was a gentleman, scientists have been wondering, hey, what happens if, you know, Large Hadron Collider shot you in the face? Okay.
Yeah.
Or you put your hand in there. Well, wonder no more, because, what was it, a Russian scientist that got caught? A Russian dissident, Alexander Litvinenko. There was a particle collider that sent proton radiation straight through his brain. And you know what? He didn't die. Now, this is extremely rare and extremely powerful radiation. But because it was so localized to this one teeny little beam that went through his brain and not through his whole body, he lived. Now, the brain tissue scarred over and he was paralyzed in half his face. And
like somebody with Bell's palsy or something like that.
Deaf in one ear, and he does have seizures. So, I mean, these are significant seizures, ranging from falling on the floor and having convulsions to just staring off into space and losing time. So, life isn't all perfect for poor Mr. Alexander, but you can survive getting a particle collider in the head.
But it's not suggested. Not recommended.
And they did cite the old case of the railroad worker from, what was it, the 1800s?
Oh, yeah.
That got a rod, like a steel rod, through his head. I'm sure
that story. I remember that, yes.
Yeah, I'm looking for, scanning real quick, trying to find the year that happened. But I don't find it real fast.
1848, on September 13th, 1848, for example, an iron rod pierced through the head of a U.S. railway worker, Phineas Gage, and profoundly changed his personality, offering early evidence of biological basis for personality. I think that led to the lobotomies, didn't it?
Well, it went through his brain, and he used to be, you know, pretty nice guy, and turned into this, not raging, but he was an angry, easily hostile person. He wasn't easy to get along with after that, if I remember the story and how that went. So, you don't want, you know, an iron rod going through your head, and you probably don't want a proton beam going through your head. So
avoid those two things, kids.
Stay
away. If there's one thing you take away from Technorama tonight,
stay away from tornadoes. There's your tornado warning.
That's right.
It's that time of year. Let's do the Patreon thing, because our patrons, we love our patrons. They donate money to this show and keep us going. And when software comes up or domain registrations need renewing, they've got our backs. Thank you very much, Alexis Duran, Amber Elstad, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman. We appreciate Ben Vaughn and Brian Brown. We need to get together with Brian Brown soon. Chris MC, Dandy Man Coyer, Danny Mortensen, Dean Jensen, Denise Inglis, Gary Lindros. Someday we're going to be able to travel and go to Dragon Con and see Gary Lindros and maybe Harold McKinstry and John Clifford and John Noble and Yorga. One of these days, man, we are going to give you a great big bear hug. But
that's,
I think,
right,
he's bigger than me, so I'm going to wind up on the short end of that stick. Christina and Kyle, looking forward to seeing you again, Kyle. Leon and Mark Kilfoyle. Leon, maybe we'll see Leon at Dragon Con again. It's just that rare passing in the hallway. There he goes. Yeah. He is here. You know,
that's right.
We never really hang out with Leon. We got to do that one of these days.
No, but we've seen him in the same place twice, didn't we?
It's kind of creepy. He might live in the vendor hall.
He's probably stalking us now.
The cheaper hotels are in the vendor hall. We now know that. Mike Wills, Chris Martinez, Saturday Morning Media, Stephen Weshy, Steve Therian, Steve Cody, and Sweet Steve London. We want to see you again at Knowledge when we do that in person. Oh, man. I am having dreams almost on a nightly basis about going to some conference or some public gathering. It's getting a little old now.
A little old, missing all that stuff?
Yeah, I'm missing it so much that I'm having these different themes of different dreams. Last night, it was a diving competition. Only the attendees were big guys in costume doing cannonballs to make the biggest splash possible. And it was fun. It was fun.
What did you have for dinner?
I don't know. But that was a good dream. That was right before I woke up.
Right.
So, let's fade out the music. And what's next? We're up to Pass Me the Remote already. All right, we are making some pretty good time on this.
Here you go. Got you a little remote. Here you go.
I got a bottle cap. And it wasn't even in the right,
on the way up.
It wasn't even the right side of the screen. I forgot to arrange our screens right this way.
Oh, here. Take it this.
Okay. Now wait, I got a Star Trek.
Wait a minute. How did that happen?
I got a Star Trek comm badge. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Our transporter's not.
I got two
not,
of them. Oh, man.
Transporter's right. Not working right. Okay. Well, that gag's getting old. Let's go on. You've got. Let's do one for you, one for me, one for you, because you've got two. So
sure.
Start me out. What do you got?
All right. Wait, so I know this is.
Wait, we have to play the theme.
Oh, sorry.
Wouldn't be a show if you didn't play the right theme. Well-oiled machine. Amy says, me too. I've had a few dreams set at conferences, and I think it's because I miss them too. Yeah. Yes.
We miss seeing you, Amy. Just like everybody else there at Dragon Con. So I saw Rocket Man, which is currently on Hulu. It's the story about Elton John.
Well, it's not
a
biography.
I didn't say that. I said story about.
It's not even really. Okay, keep going.
So it's about his life. And some of it was true. Some of it's not so much. But overall, I think for the not the most part, but a lot of it is true. I did look up a lot of that stuff afterwards. I think they took exception to the way his father actually treated him. I'm not sure about all that. But anyway, I thought it was entertaining. The music part of it was great. And it kind of reminded me, you know, I love Elton John, but then I haven't really listened to Elton John in a while. And I'm watching the movie. I'm like, you know, I forgot how much I really enjoy this music that they put together. So I enjoyed the movie. I can totally recommend it. I don't know too much to say about it other than this Elton John. It's not an autobiography, but it's a musical. And I'm not usually into musicals per se, but the music is captivating. And I like the way they used it to tell the parts of the story. So, and I like how he come at the beginning, he's got the big, one of those big
flamboyant, yes.
Yeah. Costumes on.
Yep.
And as he's talking and stripping away the parts of his life, he's taking the costume off. I liked it a lot. What about you? You saw it, right?
I was a little reluctant because it followed on the heels of Bohemian Rhapsody, which I loved.
Mm-hmm.
And this didn't feel like quite as authentic. You could it, and because it was more musical, I mean, they were it just I was reluctant to watch it, but I did enjoy it. I think I watched this on a plane ride a while back, which traveling.
I
did enjoy it more than I thought. And Elton John is one of my go-to artists when I do karaoke. So
right. There's so much great music. And like I said, the movie, just one of those things that remind, I have several artists I like, and there's times I may not listen to all of them all the time, but then I go, oh, I forgot that song. And I'll start listening to them more And the movie itself is not 100% autobiography.
It is not a documentary.
No, but I did look up some things and most of the stuff is accurate.
Like the guy who wrote the lyrics. Okay. That worked.
Yeah, I mean, like the way his mom treated him, but not so much the way his dad, at least his stepbrothers, had something to say about that. But anyway, so it's not 100% true, but it is very good. And
how would you rate this?
Rocket Man, what were we doing? 1 through 10?
1 through 10 pianos.
And 1 through 10 pianos. I would say that was a solid 9. I thought I enjoyed it.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was good.
I would have given it more of a 7. It was good, but I didn't love it.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to talk about an old show that I heard many times mentioned on Slice of Sci-Fi decades ago and never got around to watching it. Well, I finally did in the last 2 weeks. Since our last episode, I watched all 4 seasons.
You finished it?
Yeah.
All 4?
All 4 seasons. Okay. Well, the first season was only 6 shows. Then the other 3 were 13 episodes. I'm talking about The 4400. And I am sure many of you that are listening to this already have watched this and have your opinions. Here is my fresh opinion. Starts out great. Loved season 1. Kind of got into season 2. But I think 3 and 4 kind of fell off. It was a bit like Heroes. I think they kind of ran out of story and just needed some place to go.
They were kind of winging it.
It felt kind of midichlorian to me, if you can take that reference. It's like, wait a minute, because remember the Force was, you know, this thing that flows through everything and binds the universe together, right. And the Jedi know how to channel it. And then if you have more midichlorians, you know how to channel more. Well, that's kind of how it was with this stuff with promycin, and this is a neurotransmitter, and you know, it got a little not really confusing, but a little disjointed when you had NTAC, the government agency, on one side, and then you had Sean, who said, no, don't make everybody take it, because half the people will die. And you had Jordan Collier saying, no, everybody should take it, because those that survive, it's going to be heaven on earth. And I went, wait a minute. Didn't you pay attention? Because not everybody who gets these abilities from this neurotransmitter actually does good things. There's people out there crushing skulls. And so you're going to have these people in your utopia as well. So, yeah, you'll have people that can heal, but you're also going to have people that can bring buildings down with their mere thoughts. So, like, this isn't a perfect utopia. So I thought it was just a little weak in how they were doing the overarching story. Because when they first started out, it was almost like... It was very episodic, like, oh, we're going to explore one of these people who got abducted and returned to us. And, oh, they have this ability, and there's this ripple effect that it's all going to lead to good, even though the immediate effects might be bad. I thought that was an interesting way, and that this whole ripple effect was going to slowly reveal itself. But that kind of fell flat after season 1, and they sort of changed course. I don't know if it was... I didn't pay attention to the credits, but maybe it was different direction. Maybe it was different producers, maybe storytellers. Maybe there was a writer strike in there, but I just didn't. As the show went on into season 3 and 4, I just felt like it kind of got weak. Kind of like, remember Heroes? Like, ooh, this is interesting with Skyler, right. And he's ripping people's heads apart and he's feared. And then all of a sudden, like, okay, he's not so bad. And these people are kind of just getting weird on us. So
yeah,
I give this, you know, it's a fun watch. It's a nice sci-fi. If you want to go back, it still holds up to the effects in the story. But I wouldn't give this much more than a 6 or 7.
Okay. Wow. All right. Well, the next one on my list, I watched Thunder Force, which was on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen this at all, or advertised, or shown, whatever. But this is a movie. It's a superhero movie with Melissa McCarthy and Octavia Spencer, where they have superpowers, and you know they're trying to put together really a super team. There were some chuckles in it. I was just reading the consensus on Rotten Tomatoes, and I think it kind of sums it up. It's got a few chuckles. But Thunder Force is largely a superhero comedy that's neither exciting nor funny.
Ah, okay. Failed on both fronts.
Yeah. So, I mean, I liked it enough because there was some humor in it.
Yeah.
But that wasn't really in my, it wasn't a good movie. So okay. I would say it's there. So you can check it out. But yeah.
What do you rate it?
More like a, I'm going to say 4, but that's being generous, I think.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for keeping me away from that waste of time.
Yeah. Like I said, there was some good humor in it. There was a few things, but yeah, it was just, you know, it just didn't work.
All right, let's do the Geek Library real quick, and then we are out of here. We got just about 10 more minutes.
All right. Well, most of these are just
play
videos.
That creepy laser music. This music always makes me feel like I'm getting abducted.
Yeah.
Get away from me with that probe.
That's right.
All right. First one we have is Myron Dupler sent us an email and with a link. Was it an email or was it a Facebook message? I'm not sure how we
He sent
this.
Us an email.
Okay. This is called I listen to a lot of these, kind of static noise things. One of them, right. One of my favorites is the 12 hours or more of Star Trek The Next Generation NCC-170D engine right. sounds. It's just...
Yeah, just there the rumbling
is a YouTube
of the warp
video. Engine. Right. Yeah. There's also same effect for DS9, same effect for Voyager, same effect for lots of Star Trek noises. Or you can just look for brown noise, white noise, pink noise. And I love to sleep with my earbuds in, and this just washes everything out, especially the neighbor's stupid barking dog. I mean, barking dog. Because the neighbor
hates dogs. I got it.
No, I don't hate dogs. I hate the neighbors who leave their dogs out barking all night. So anyway.
Oh, yeah.
This one is pure relaxation. The sounds of the server room. Now, laugh as you might. There was a time in college when I was getting up early for morning classes and I'd stay up late working at the roller rink and I needed a nap during the day. And I would find one of the smaller server rooms and put my head on the desk and snooze for a while. And the server fan noise and hard drives, they can help you relax. So
the video that he's got, it's not just the sounds, but it's a 3-minute compilation. That's like an advertisement for an album, but it's the pure relaxation. Server sounds, and there's different ones like storage in my ears, facing the cloud, sirens of ups, spacewalk, entering the engineering room. You know, there's different tracks.
Dude, we could come out with an album like that.
I know.
Technorama presents.
But if you listen to it, they do change it up, and you can hear the different ones. But it's only like 3 minutes long, so.
For $6.99 on KTEL, you can get Data Center, Volume 1.
Right.
Join us for such hits as restoring the hard drive.
Tape rewinding.
I was just going to say something about a tape drive. This is getting creepy now. We're doing it again.
The unequaled fan. You know, it's... off.
Fan resonance would not put you to sleep.
Busted hard drive. Anyway. Yeah.
Hard drive on its last legs. That would not be soothing.
Yeah. But speaking of soothing, actually, there's nothing soothing about this. I know you hate dogs, Chuck, like you
said.
I
didn't say I hate dogs. This was a cute video.
It was super cute.
And so the follow-up videos were equally as cute, and I'll talk about those in a second, but tell them what we're talking about.
Okay, so this puppy's reaction after watching Darth Vader for the first time has gone viral, apparently. It was a TikTok video. The owner was watching A New Hope, and as he was watching it, he was on with a blanket on the couch, and then his dog was looking at the TV.
Beautiful golden retriever or a yellow lab or something like that.
That's right. So as soon as Darth Vader makes his entrance to the door, the music changes and the Darth Vader starts showing up. The dog gets up. The dog starts creeping back, leaves the couch and looks back a couple times. And then next thing you know, he's behind the couch, looking at the TV.
Poor scared puppy.
Oh, that poor thing.
Yeah.
It was so cute.
Well, if you scroll down, there's another one. And the dog's name is Emperor Puppetine. And he hates Yoda. So Luke is in Yoda's hut talking to him on Dagobah. And this other, and this little like chihuahua or whatever. And strong is the force. And he goes right up to the TV. He starts yapping at Yoda.
I didn't see that. Oh,
my
man.
My favorite is the last one. It's the camera's view of this little cat or kitten watching Psycho.
Oh, no.
And the cat is, at first it looks like he's watching this tennis game with the head going back and forth. And you hear the soundtrack. And the cat blinks not once, but twice with one eye, which is creepy to watch a cat do that. What? And then it does it again. Like, okay, now the cat's going psycho.
I never seen a cat do that unless I had something in its eye.
And the cat goes from this standing posture to what I call hover cat, where they have their legs tucked in and lying down on the floor. And you don't see any legs. I call it hover cat. And all of a sudden, this cat is really into it. And the music gets real tense. And you hear, what's Anthony Perkins' character's name? Norman Bates. Okay.
Yeah, Norman.
And you hear, Mrs. Bates. And the cat's pupils dilate like crazy on this. The computer screen must have gone dark, but it looks really creepy. And I was like, ooh. This is a cute cat, but I'm getting really creeped out by this.
I'm gonna
cute
have to watch
cat.
That. Yeah. Okay, I did not watch those. The golden retriever though.
Yeah,
do yourself a favor.
Adorable.
Go watch that.
Adorable. Yeah. Okay, finally we have an article. I'm not going to get into it. I tried reading it, but I couldn't get the meat out of this article.
Let's just skip this article. Yeah. Screw it.
Okay. Yeah, we'll all right. Jumping right to our question of the week. I'm not a TikTok subscriber, but I do get the occasional one from Lisa that does this. So I have to pass that on to her. Question of the week this week is, what item today is prohibitively expensive, but you think it's going to be mainstream about 60 years from now?
Yeah. Look at things like the microwave. You know, everybody's got a microwave oven pretty much.
I don't think they were prohibitively expensive.
Originally, they were.
We'll have to check. I thought they were
$1,500. Easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, or laser discs. Those are really cheap now.
Yeah. Or what about, you know, cell phones? You know, I know they're not necessarily, you can get some good cheap phones and they're still good phones. So, yeah. What do you think will be mainstream? What do you think? Dig in the back of Chuck's mind and what do you think?
Space travel? Maybe. I don't know. Think it'll be cheap in 60 years?
Yeah, could be.
Think it'll be mainstream? Where are people going to go in 60 years? Do you think we'll just be going into space to travel around the Earth faster? Maybe.
Oh, you can dip it. Well, they were doing that with the Concorde and stuff
like
that.
They weren't going into space.
Not into space. Not into space, but they would go up and, you know, maybe be
I think
faster.
They were doing that on Man in the High Castle. What else? Prohibitively expensive. Dang, my hearing aids were expensive.
Yeah, right.
Podcasting.
Yeah. I think it's been done on the cheap since the beginning.
Hey, if you want to buy my studio, it's prohibitively expensive.
Yeah, now it is. That's right.
Don't know. Have to think about that one. Let's see.
Hi.
8K OLED TVs.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? Flat screen TVs would be totally on that list. Because remember when some of those plasma ones were like 10 grand.
Some of the 8K OLEDs are 10 grand.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just a good TV. Like those TVs, they weren't even 4K. They were just 1080p. They were like 10 grand. Now you can go buy a 4K TV for 600 or less.
In 10 years ago when I got the 65 inch HD. It wasn't even 4K back then. It was HD. Cause I remember you and I had a discussion about, should we go 3D or not?
Yeah. Right.
3D would have been $3,000. Non-3D was $2,000. For a 65 inch, you can go get a 4K, like Craig was saying, 4K 65 inch for about $600 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So higher resolution, third of the price.
Mm. Absolutely.
So yeah.
Where is 3D to be found nowadays?
How's that 3D TV working out for you, Craig?
Actually, it was the Blu-ray player that was doing the 3D, not so much the TV. Okay. But still, I've still got it, actually, the Blu-ray player. You know what?
Technology aside, that's obviously going to be part of that curve. But is there anything outside of the technology curve, like maybe medical procedures that are prohibitively expensive?
Oh, I bet there's a bunch. Yeah. I bet there's a bunch that's already crossed over like that. So, yeah.
Well, that'll be fun. Let's hear what our listeners have to say. All right. We are going to end the show here. We do have a Patreon episode to record. We've got an interesting topic to start with on that show, as we often do. We start in one point and see where the path leads us. And hope you can be part of that. We didn't mention, did we? We thank the patrons, but we didn't mention that you can be part of the Patreon crowd for as little as a dollar a show. I know I'm kind of doing a late plug on this. Where is my Patreon subtitle? There it is. Patreon.com/Technorama Podcast. You get thanked on every episode, and you get a special, short, unedited, conversational episode. No production other than the beginning music and the ending music. And then you get to get inside our brains for a few minutes and find out what's on our minds, what's been eating at us, or what's...
We'll let you decide if that was worth the purchase, but yeah, that's
our way
get.
Of thanking you back.
That's
and
right.
When we didn't have a show or we didn't have a Patreon show, you didn't get charged. So if we don't produce content, you don't pay. So it's beholden to us to offer you up some quality. So if you think this show is worth it, and many of you do, and we thank you very much to help offset the costs and pay for upgrades. And this isn't going to like beer at Dragon Con. Don't worry about that.
That's
that we have to get financial backing from our spouses.
I was going to say, our spouses are involved in those decisions.
Patreon.com/Technorama Podcast.
Right.
Thank you very much once again to all of our patrons. And there's the ending music right on cue, because I push the button and it comes right on cue.
That's right.
Get in touch with us. Let's get the get in touch with us stuff up there. Share live birthday calendar. Contact us. 707. I think I had this up most of the show anyway. 707-530-2428 is how you can reach us in the U.S. at a +1, and I think you can reach us from anywhere in the world. How's that for easy?
Technology.
Give us a voicemail like Amy and, was it Brian? Uh-oh. I wasn't paying attention. Yes, Brian from Minnesota. There it is, right on my other screen. Love to hear from you if you can get in touush with us, or send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com, like Edward did. Thank you very much for joining us live or listening later. We will talk to you again real soon. Craig, it's up to you to give us the binary high five.
All right. 101. See, that wasn't prohibitively expensive.